Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
4 o'clock this afternoon. Phone lines open 844-477-3776. The text line is 71307. And it's driven by Carolina Coaches RV Superstore Twitter at ESPN.
Hey, Greg, upstate. I told Bob that I would make sure that I mentioned that he and I man-hugged and we're good over the phone.
You know how worried I was about that.
I knew you were concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And
that is some marvelous news.
There we go. Okay.
We spent way too much time on Bob today. That's all I can say. 844-GSP-ESPN. The situation with the Houston Texans when they play Thursday night against the Cincinnati Bengals is we don't know who's going to start at quarterback. Will it be Tom Savage? Will it be Deshaun Watson? The reporting, and I mentioned this to you yesterday, Ian Rappaport reported that it would be Deshaun Watson because he's impressed the Texans at every checkpoint. They think he's a future star, and the future may be right now. It would be Deshaun Watson if he's 100% good to go. And there's been nothing out of Houston on this, but there's been a report that Deshaun Watson was seen limping on an ankle after the game the other day in which Houston got rolled by Jacksonville. So that could complicate this. What's the best strategy? Here we are going into week two for the Houston Texans because they're ready, really, at most other positions. They're good at many other positions on this team. Is Deshaun Watson ready, and should you throw him out there right now? Well, that was a subject of debate from ESPN's Max Kellerman and Stephen A. Smith. Here are their comments.
I hate to give away the end for everyone, but Deshaun Watson's not going to win the Super Bowl as a rookie. So they're not going to win the Super Bowl this year, but they can in the not-too-distant future. So sometimes you'd say don't start Deshaun Watson because he's going to get beat up before he knows what he's doing, but he's a special kind of guy, a special kind of leader, potentially a special kind of quarterback. He needs to get as many reps as possible right away so he can be ready to win as soon as possible, maybe as soon as next year or the year after, because the rest of that Texans team is ready to win now.
Here's why you have to give the job to Deshaun Watson, because you know he's the future. But you put Tom Savage out there. When you put Tom Savage out there, he looked like a petrified puppy. He just wasn't able to get it done. And you had to go to Watson in game one. So now, since you know Watson is the future and you want to rally the troops and give them a reason to believe, you can't go out there and put out your mediocre quarterback in the starting lineup yet again and put yourself behind the eight ball. When Deshaun Watson went in there, he completed 12 of 23 passes, threw a touchdown, threw an interception. But clearly he has an it factor that's associated with him, and he has the capability of galvanizing the troops. Because of that reality, you put him out there because you're saying we're going to ride and die with this dude. Folks will get behind him.
Look, Bill O'Brien's already made this call. He already pulled his starting quarterback two quarters into the season, Coach. So, I mean, it's not like you can come back out and seriously look at the media with a straight face and say, no, I was just kidding about that. Tom Savage is my man. I'm 100% Savage. Savage Nation, baby. I mean, if Deshaun Watson's healthy, is there any reason to hold him back?
None. Let him out there and let him go. Put an end to the Savage era.
I mean, he's going to make some mistakes.
Right.
No question. He made some mistakes Saturday.
Right.
Or Sunday.
Exactly.
I completely disagree with you, Josh. Here's the thing. The reason why Savage was getting killed is because the offensive line is so bad. And the reason why Deshaun is limping now is because the offensive line is so bad. If he's your quarterback of the future, why do you throw him to the Wolves now?
You're going to wait till you recruit offensive linemen before you play Deshaun Watson?
Well Dallas kind of.
How long are you going to wait?
I don't know. At least another year. Here's the thing. And we've seen college coaches do this, pull their starter out because they were getting killed, and put somebody else in and then put their starter back the next game. What's the difference between that and the NFL?
You think it was protecting Tom Savage?
I think if you want to go out in front of the media, you said, how can he go out in front of the media? I think that's how you go out in front of the media.
He's already said we put Deshaun in because we needed a spark. not because Savage was getting killed and I wanted to protect him.
Watson obviously is a better quarterback and he has a better future, but will he have a future if you put him out in front of that line?
Yes. I mean, this is a kid that's – I mean, he took a beating in both matchups with Alabama, and he kept coming back, and he kept coming back. So from a toughness standpoint, I don't question the kid's courage.
So even on a short week when they're playing Thursday?
Yeah, you got to do it.
If the ankle's okay.
If the ankle's okay. If he's healthy, then you put him out there, and then you let him go to work. And then because here's the thing. He's not going to get any better – sitting on the sideline. He's got to play. He's got to experience the speed and the complexities of NFL defenses. And the classroom is not going to translate that. He's got to get out there and play. And this is the argument that I've used since day one, why he should have started from day one, is that Tom Savage has been in the NFL now going on, what, 6-7 years? And he's still the same player he was 6 or 7 years ago. Nothing has changed. So you draft it up, they get what Houston give up, 3-4 picks to move up to that 12th spot to get Deshaun. All right, there's a reason they did that. So you gave Savage a shot as the vet. You played the politic card. He screwed the pooch. Now let's get the guy out there that you drafted up for and let him go play. Because the offense didn't start moving until Deshaun came in the game. And I firmly believe that I don't care what Nuke Hopkins said in the preseason, I think the locker room knows the best chance for them to win. And look, Houston isn't a rebuild job right now. Houston is a, we believe that we are one player away, that we are a quarterback away from dethroning the New England Patriots at the top of the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether it's this year, next year, whenever, but sooner or later, you got to get the kid in there and let him play. I mean, you know what you're dealing with Tom Savage.
I have a question for you. How good is Jacksonville's front seven?
Campbell. Calais Campbell was all
Calais
over. Like
Campbell
four,
was pretty good.
Four sacks.
Right.
But is this one of the better defenses they're going to face?
He's one of the better players they're going to face.
Front four, yes.
Okay.
Front four, yes. Total defense, no. And no, you are right. There is an element of what you're saying that is.
It was Jacksonville, man.
Right. I agree with that. And I told GMAC yesterday. You know, when we were talking about stuff on the show over the weekend, the biggest shock I had over the weekend was the way Jacksonville just manhandled Houston. I mean, it had been one thing if they had won 17-14 on a late kick,
mm-hmm.
You know, and Houston didn't play well.
It was like
29-7. Yeah, I mean, it was a blowout. They manhandled Houston, and Houston was one game away from the AFC Championship last year.
You know, I watched a good portion of this, and it looked like the roles have been reversed.
Right.
Like Jacksonville was Houston, and Houston was right. Jacksonville. It looked exactly like that.
Right. I mean, the fact that Blake Bortles – here's the thing that people got to understand. The fact that Blake Bortles looked like a Hall of Fame member and Tom Savage looked like Blake Bortles ought to tell you what you're looking at.
Yeah, Blake Bortles has been roundly called a bust going into this season.
But doesn't that say something about the vaunted Houston defense, the fact that Bortles was able to do what he was able to do?
Yeah, I think it was a complete fail on everybody in the Houstons. I think it was a fail by Tom O'Brien. You don't, at home, get beat by 22 points and look that inept on offense, defense, throughout the whole organization.
Yeah, now don't go crazy about Bortles. I mean, he was 11 for 21 with 125 yards. He did not light him up.
Right, he didn't light him up. He just made plays when he needed to make plays. And then, of course, Houston could do literally nothing. I mean, they got manhandled. They got sacked 10 times. Houston turned into Auburn. I guess Bill O'Brien hired Gus Malzahn as his offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I think you got to play Watson. When he's ready, assuming his ankle's okay, and we haven't heard any kind of an injury report from Houston on him, I got to play him.
What if he goes out and Cincinnati does to him what Jacksonville did to Savage? Do you still just stick with him the rest of the year and hope he makes it through?
You play the best quarterback. I mean, it's week two. Don't you play the best quarterback? You're not already giving up on the season. You're playing to win this year.
Right.
I know what Kellerman said, and he's probably right, that Houston's not going to the Super Bowl. But you're not giving up on week two. I mean, you want to win your division.
No, I mean, let's be honest, guys. In the AFC, other than Kansas City, who'd really look good? Nobody. So Kellerman can't make that statement that Houston can't go to the Super Bowl. He's dead wrong. Because other than Kansas City, nobody else in the AFC looked like they were worthy of going to the Super Bowl. Not New England, not Houston, nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Denver looked pretty good, but they were at home, but they spit the bit and blew a lead and should have gone into overtime last night. There's not a dominant team. You can look into the NFC and you can pretty much stack them up. This is the best team, second best team, third best team. You can sit there and say with the NFC with confidence, Green Bay is the best in the NFC. Seattle's number two. Dallas is number three.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, boom, boom.
I don't know if I put Seattle number two.
I would.
I put Dallas number two. You just won't put your team
well,
up there.
I'm not going to do that to the Cowboys right now.
Well, even Pittsburgh, supposed to be great.
Struggled.
3-point win over the Browns.
Over the Browns and the fighting Deshaun Kaisers. I mean, yeah. Deshaun Kaiser could barely beat Boston College. Now he's out there taking out the Steelers.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. There was nobody impressive last week in the AFC other than Kansas City.
That's it.
I mean, Baltimore shut out the Bengals. Baltimore looked all right.
Yeah, but I mean, in Cincinnati, I wasn't high on Cincinnati.
I was going to say, no one was talking about how great Baltimore was. They were just talking about how bad Cincinnati was.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, it was 20-0. I mean, they were impressive enough, I guess, but nobody else. Jacksonville was your other impressive team.
They were on the road, 22-point win against Houston.
Yeah, yeah.
My thing was, where was J.J. Watt? Where was Jadeveon Clowney?
Right.
Where was that vaunted defense that was supposed to be the stalwart of this team?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't show up, and they're all healthy. So what happened? Now, part of me wants to give them a pass because of what they dealt with Hurricane Harvey. That's legitimate. I mean, it's hard to concentrate on football when you've literally got people starving in the streets of Houston. I get that. But you don't get beat 22. And I appreciate what J.J. said in the post-conference. You know, there is no excuse for our performance today. Now, can they get it corrected? I don't know. I think Bill O'Brien's going to have to. He can't flop back and forth. If
right.
he makes the move to Deshaun, like you just said, G-Mac, you cannot.
He already made it.
You cannot go back to Savage.
Yeah.
You'll lose the team doing that stuff.
He made it after two quarters, after spending the whole preseason saying, oh, we're behind Savage.
Exactly.
After two quarters, he pulled him.
Yeah, done. All right, so now what happens if you pull Deshaun? You got to live with his mistakes.
So how healthy does Deshaun Watson's ankle have to be before you put him out there?
I want him healthy, man. I don't want to put him out there limping around.
No, I mean, you don't want him gimping, but if he's 90%, I mean, if he can plant and make throws.
I mean, they don't want him running the ball.
No.
So.
Well, he's going to have to run to stay alive.
To run for his life, yeah. Yeah. I mean, this, you know, and again, in Cincinnati, this ought to be a game where he could get something done.
Right.
An opportunity to get something done.
I thought they
theoretically.
Would get something. I don't think anybody in the planet. I would love to hear.
It's Jacksonville, man.
Somebody that picked Jacksonville that didn't have a bias.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was shocking, really, how bad Houston was offensively, particularly in that ballgame. All right, we'll watch it, see if we get any word out of Houston on what they're going to do. He's got to make his decision pretty quickly. They play Thursday night. It's the day after tomorrow, so we'll see when they make the announcement on who will start at quarterback coming up in that Thursday night game, which you can hear right here on ESPN Upstate. 844-477-3776, text line 71307. Sergio Dipp is a new famous person. You didn't know him yesterday. You should know him today. We'll tell you why coming up. This is the Huddle on ESPN Upstate. We'll be right back. So, as we often do, we take our little break to run to the restroom during breaks here in the Huddle. I know, inside information, TMI. But they have radio stations playing in there, and often it's on our sister station, WORD 106.3, and Rush Limbaugh is on. And Rush Limbaugh is talking about Sergio Dipp. That's the household name that Sergio has become from last night's second game in the Monday Night Football doubleheader. He was the sideline reporter for the Chargers and the Broncos game. And they went down to him one time. And Sergio was trying to get a point across, but had a little trouble expressing himself. So here's how it went. When first of all, you had Beth Mowins, who's the first woman to call an NFL telecast in about 30 years. So you had that part that's drawing attention to the announcing team, and then they throw it down to Sergio on the sideline. Here's how that went.
Here's Sergio Dick. Beth, Coach, it's a pleasure to be with you guys here on the field from up close, just watching Coach Vance Joseph from here. You watch him now on the screen. This diversity in his background is helping him a lot tonight. Quarterback at Colorado, defensive back in the NFL. And here he is, having the time of his life this night, making his head coaching debut.
All right, so it wasn't that bad, right? But the point that Sergio was trying to make, I think, had to do with it being, yesterday was 9/11, so it was, what, the 16th anniversary of the attack. And, you know, and he was feeling emotional, Sergio himself, about being an immigrant who was out there on the national stage, and two coaches who are minorities representing the teams out there. So he got a little overcome and just didn't get the point across quite as well as he would have liked. And so social media lit up on Sergio last night. And then a whole bunch of people came to his defense.
You know what? I was half paying attention, and then he came on, and I thought maybe they had a fan on the sideline who won a contest or something.
That's what other people
that's
said.
It didn't seem
like a guy that was ready for primetime.
So when you were saying his name earlier, I didn't want to look it up because I wanted to see if it was who I thought it was, and it is.
They did not let him back on. He did one drop from the sideline. Sergio did not get another chance.
Well, in his defense, I think the ESPN brass, you know, in coaching, you got to put your players in the best position to be successful.
Yep.
He has been on ESPN Deportes,
right,
which is the Hispanic side of ESPN broadcast.
So this wasn't his first time?
No, okay. No. His first time doing it in English. And you could tell he struggled with that. And I think they should have kind of prepped him a little bit more in that, hey, look, you got to make the transition to English from what you've been doing it in Spanish, and he struggled with that.
I'm sorry. He looked like, to me, the first time I had to speak in front of like 300 people.
Sure.
That's what it looked like. It looked like, oh, my God, there's so many people here.
He was a little scared. So he, afterwards, from his hotel room after the game, he posted a video on Twitter and basically said that he hopes he gets another chance. He said that it didn't go quite the way that he wanted it to go, but He got a lot of people. He posted that video and he wrapped it up saying, thank you and God bless America. He was trying to make a good point.
Right, exactly.
A really good point.
Yeah, exactly.
It just the moment got to Sergio just a little bit.
Yeah, to me, and I don't know if I'm going to lose my man card by saying this, I thought it was cute.
Really? Cute? That's
what you're going with? I thought it was cute. You know, he tried. When you see somebody out there and they're trying.
Yep.
And they just, bless their heart, they're giving everything they got, but they're just kind of out of their element, but they're trying to make the most of it. And
right.
You know, they know that you know that they're overwhelmed.
You just went, bless your heart. That says a whole lot.
Yeah, right, you know, so I felt for the guy. I mean, we've all been in broadcasting a long time. Nobody in this room can tell me that at some point you haven't got caught on air kind of tongue-tied. It happens to everybody.
It doesn't happen to him.
In the last 10 minutes or what?
Yeah.
No, what?
No.
When?
No, I mean just at any point.
Come on.
At any point.
Greg
in our
McKinney
career
has never messed up on
the
air.
Yeah, right. Look, I felt for him too, and I thought, you know, and when I saw Twitter blowing up about it, because Twitter's just brutal, man.
Brutal. Yeah.
It's just horrible.
You don't agree with that? Follow
and
me.
And I did not see it. I did not see it live, so I looked it up.
Right.
Because that was a little late for me. Second game of a Monday night doubleheader is not really my thing. So.
Right.
But I didn't think it was as bad as Twitter made it out to be once I looked at it. But it was you could see the deer in the headlights kind of look.
Yes.
That he was on this huge stage and wasn't quite ready for it. And I like the way a lot of people came to his defense.
Absolutely.
Jemele Hill was one of them.
Yes.
A bunch of people did on Twitter and said, hey, look, you'll be fine. Way to go. Hang
right
in there. Come back. And but, man, some people are brutal.
Yes,
they are.
They're
just bad. So, I, you know, go Sergio. That's what I say. Sergio hung in there, and then he owned it and came up and did a video afterward and said, "Hey, if you thought I was being disrespectful in any way, I'm sorry." And I didn't think that. No, there's nothing disrespectful.
So do you guys think he does get a second chance though?
It'll probably be a while.
With the size of that stage.
Yeah, you know, right. He's not going to be on next Monday. The reason he's on is because it was a doubleheader. Because, you know, Lisa Salters, I guess, usually does that. And did she do game one? I guess she did.
She did.
They had to put somebody else in there for game two. Well, so it won't be anytime soon.
I thought nothing could make Rex Ryan look good.
Was he bad?
It was not. You know, you could tell it was kind of like his first time, too. You want the color guy to jump in there and add color. That's what they're there for. And there were long pauses in between. Yeah. And when he jumped in, it was like a half a sentence, and then he was done.
Was he funny? Not really.
See, I didn't watch the entire game. Josh did. I made it halfway. And up to halftime, I didn't really catch anything that caught my ear.
If we were in the NFL draft, I would say he has a huge upside.
I mean, that's what you expect. You expect him to be funny. You see all these promos that they're doing with him on and all this kind of stuff. And he has in the past. He's been a pretty funny guy.
Right. He had his moments.
He's snarky. Right. And I just, nothing stood out to me.
Yeah, he had his moments where he was a little bit entertaining. But you're right. There were gaps where, you could tell he was struggling being in that role.
Don't judge these guys on their first
appearance.
They'll get better. Let them get comfortable. Give them a chance before you just roast them on Twitter and Facebook.
Listen, I understand the other guy, but Rex Ryan, I think he deserves it because, I mean, come on.
He should not be nervous. I mean,
right,
he's been on the stage
before.
Yeah. So, Rex should do better than Sergio. 844-477-3776. Let's go to Kenneth next in the huddle. Hey, Kenneth, welcome in.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing, man?
I like to talk about the Gamecocks, man.
All right.
That coaching staff are doing a great job with a bunch of guys that wasn't highly recruited, especially the local guy, Debo Samuels. And they just doing a great job just coaching these guys up. Even when they got down, you could tell they were still engaged in the game. And last year this time, they would have lost those first couple of games. And it shows that you don't have to have five stars to win. You can win with three stars.
Kenneth, I think it's a great point, and I said this going into the weekend. The reason I liked South Carolina, especially going into NC State, I said this, because they have coaching. And I'm not just talking about Muschamp. He has hired really good assistants at South Carolina. And that's making a difference right now for this team. I mean, they're getting the most out of these players because you're right. They don't have the stars that a lot of teams have, but they're squeezing every little bit out of them right now. Playing at a high level.
Yeah, you're right. And go Gamecocks, and we're going to beat Kentucky.
All right, man. Appreciate the call, Kenneth. Matt Schick is a studio host for ESPN College Football. I think he's on some show. Anyway, he put out a Heisman ranker today. Here's his top five for the Heisman. Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield, 1A and 1B. Got them even. Josh Rosen, third. Saquon Barkley, fourth. Debo Samuel, fifth. I mentioned this yesterday, Josh. Don't be surprised when you start hearing Debo's name for Heisman votes. And it's two games, so but not just kick returns, but running the football end around, receiving, special player, jumping up, starting to make some noise nationally. People are starting to notice Debo Samuel. No question about it.
Prime time. Got to do it on prime time. He's got four really. If he shows out against Clemson, if he shows out against Tennessee, Florida, Georgia,
yep,
he'll be right in the mix. And I think he's good enough to do it.
844-477-3776, text line 71307. Break time, back with more coming up. This is The Huddle on Tuesday afternoon on ESPN Upstate. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's cloudy this afternoon, but the rain has moved out. But a lot of folks still without power across the upstate. It's being worked on. Be patient. Hopefully they'll get you covered here pretty soon, and you won't be out too much longer. It's tough to be without power, man. Some people have been out since yesterday afternoon. That's no fun. There's nothing fun about that. I know we're spoiled, but that's just not much fun. So we're hopefully you got your battery-operated radio and you're listening to us. We're helping keep the battery business going here.
Yeah, man, I'm devastated. I can't play Madden 18.
See? That's the kind of problems you have when you lose power.
It's the end of the world.
Here's the thing. I don't know if he's serious or not.
I'm dead serious.
I think he's serious.
Okay. All right.
I think he's serious.
Dead serious.
Again, on a more real serious note, we did have some trees fall this morning, and one hit a car and injured a guy on Howell Road this morning in Greenville County. So be alert. You still could have some issues with trees coming down because of the saturation of the ground. And, you know, it doesn't look too windy outside our studios, right? Man, yesterday, that was about as windy as I've seen it. When we left our remote out at Local Q, Josh, it was howling. I mean, seriously howling.
Yeah, when the trees in the parking lot, when the tops are horizontal to the ground, it's a bad plan.
Well, I didn't sleep very much last night because the trees were touching my house. And because my house is surrounded by 30 to 40-foot trees. And when they're touching the house, you're waiting for them to come into the house.
Right.
That makes it really hard to sleep.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, I've heard seen a whole bunch of people posting on Facebook and on Twitter about how trees fell in their yard and came this close to their house. And if it had gone this way, it would have hit my bedroom and all that stuff. I mean, it's the real deal. And some houses were hit by trees. Didn't hear of any serious injuries with that, fortunately.
Well, I look at it this way. And let me say this. What an incredible job by the state government of South Carolina, as well as Florida and everybody in the path of these hurricanes, because you can't stop the devastation. But what you can do is try to minimize, did I say that right?
Just go with minimize.
Thank you. Minimize the destruction and the loss of human life. And I thought with Harvey and with Irma, they really got out in front of these things. We obviously learned our lesson from Katrina. I was talking to my uncle last night. He was up for the Clemson game, then turned around and went back. He lives in Charleston, and he was telling me the swell and the battery was 5 feet underwater. He said it was worse than Hugo. The difference, though, is nobody was there.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had prepared so well in advance that when it happened, that the destruction was literally at a minimum.
Yeah. Did you see the pictures of California Dreaming in Charleston?
Unbelievable.
Like an island.
It looked like it, really, yeah.
Looked like it had a moat around it.
And he told me, he goes, Josh, the swell, it was worse than Hugo, because he lived down there during that time too. And I went, really? He goes, yeah, but I said, we didn't hear anything. He goes, yeah. He goes, that's because a week and a half, 2 weeks in advance, the city had already started prepping for it, and the state government had already started prepping for it. So, although I didn't agree with all the things that McMaster had to say, I think overall you could say the state, as well as the state of Florida, state government level, did a phenomenal job.
We have one thing I can say is we can all agree on is we have the best sign language guy in South Carolina. You see that? Have you seen McMaster on TV?
No.
When he has the state news conferences and he brings up all the officials?
Right.
The guy that does the sign language?
Yeah,
he's awesome.
After it.
He's awesome.
I gotta watch that.
He's a big old dude, looks like a football lineman, bald guy, and really expressive. I mean, watch his facial expressions. I don't know if McMaster's holding any more news conferences, but he's awesome.
I wonder, you know, he's McMaster tends to stretch certain words out. Can you do that in sign language? I'm just curious.
This guy conveys emotion with his facial expressions. And his hands are going a mile a minute, too. He's great. I don't know who he is, but he's the best. Off the text line. By the way, they had a bomb threat at Dorman High School today. They had to send the kids home over in Spartanburg. Yeah, I guess
they not out of school today.
They're not out in Spartanburg, but Dorman was because of a bomb threat called into 911 this morning. Freshman campus and the main campus.
Oh, and they've searched and they haven't found anything.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's not fun.
Some numbnut messed everything up over there. Anyway, they did search, and yeah, no problems over there. So that's the good news on that. Off the text line, 71307. We were talking about Sergio Dipp, the sideline reporter on game two of the NFL doubleheader last night. Texter says, so coach, you would be okay with a doctor performing surgery on you who did not have a clue what he was doing as long as he was trying?
Okay.
I don't think that's what we're saying.
Okay, on what planet? Who is this clown on the text line? Who is this? Did they put their name on that?
Sideline reporting is not surgery, folks.
Number one. And number two, where in the world did you get that that's what I was saying? All I was saying was, I'm not the one in charge that put the guy out there.
You know what this is.
That
you
he can't speak
Clemson
English.
Fans earlier. This is a Clemson
You know what?
Fan.
They need to get over it. I don't care. Who is this guy?
I don't know.
It's got to be David. Only David would. It's got to be David.
Okay.
But usually David puts his name to it. But, no, that's ridiculous.
Let's see. Also off the Twitter machine, are we just going to – this is Corey. Are we just going to pretend that Carolina hasn't faced a real defense yet? I think what he means is, are we going to pretend that that's not the case, that they haven't faced a real defense? You know, North Carolina State's defense was supposed to be pretty
Corey,
good.
That's an uninformed statement, sir. NC State's defense is legit.
Mm.
You can't get two people to agree on anything, and I certainly hardly ever agree with what the ESPN guys have to say. But everybody can agree that front four, front seven for NC State is legit. And I know everyone's going to say, well, they gave up 20 to Marshall. Well, you know, they knew they could beat Marshall, and I think they had a little bit of a hangover after the South Carolina loss, which is understandable. But going forward, NC State's defense is one of the top ones in the country. It's legitimate. Dave Huxtable does a great job with that defense.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they may turn out to have been slightly overrated. We'll see by the end of the year. But I don't know that that's the case yet. I don't know that you can say that at this point.
Now, if you want to say the back end, I might could agree with that because they gave up some big plays. But, I mean, that's still a defense that statistically only gave up 240 yards to South Carolina, held them to 31 yards rushing and 215 passing. In today's football, if I'm a defensive coach, man, I take that every single week.
They gave up 20 points to Marshall last week. You know, for what that's worth.
Sure.
They get Furman this week, so Furman will get a firsthand look at the NC State defense on Saturday afternoon at Carter-Finley Stadium. And so we'll see. You know, we'll see when they play the likes of Florida State, Louisville, and Clemson, and Notre Dame, all games they have coming up a little later in the season.
Right.
844-477-3776. Final break of this hour coming up. Tweet of the day on the way and much more. So stay with us in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Thanks for hanging out with us in the huddle this afternoon. It's Greg McKinney, Coach Josh Phillips, and Lonzo with you till 4 o'clock this afternoon in the huddle. 844-477-3776 if you want to jump on board. Already had some good calls today, but you can add to the list. Text line 71307, driven by Carolina Coaches RV Superstore. Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Speaking of Twitter, let's get to today's tweet of the day in the huddle. Let's go to the Twitter account of one Geno Smith, NFL quarterback. He's now with the Giants, right?
Yes.
Just kind of languishing.
The fact that you have to ask means, well, Josh seems certain. But
he's with the Giants.
Yeah, okay. He's with the Giants. Yeah.
How's his jaw?
How what?
How's his jaw?
How's his jaw? glass, I guess. I don't know. Geno Smith, 34 minutes ago, tweeted this. He's talking about... What's the guy's name that hosts the show in New York? Craig Carton.
Carton, yeah.
Craig Carton, who's on with Boomer. Used to be on with Boomer until he
got, now he's in jail.
Got picked up last week on a Ponzi deal. So the tweet from Geno Smith, because apparently Craig Carton was never really nice to Geno Smith on the air. Apparently he dogged him on the air a lot. So Geno tweeted this. Same guy who was calling me a thug on some lame radio station, which, by the way, is WFAN in New York.
Wow.
was running a Ponzi scheme. Funny how life works. Can't believe these fools. Little revenge for Geno Smith coming after Craig Carton. Yeah, Craig Carton apparently duped the Barclays Center operations facility in this Ponzi scheme, according to the federal government. We're learning more and more about the charges related to Craig Carton. He allegedly duped the operator of the Barclays Center in Brooklyn into wiring him $2 million.
So this wasn't on accident. This was on purpose.
$2 million that was stolen from a prominent hedge fund, according to authorities. This is a $5.6 million Ponzi scheme that Craig Carton was allegedly involved in.
I realize he got caught, but how good do you have to be able to dupe someone into sending you $2 million?
Well, I mean... And that's the thing. The guy's, you know, he's got some credibility because he's on the radio. I know we all know that gives you no credibility, but he's been on up there with Boomer for years. famous guy, and they trusted him. 5.6, he had gambling debts that were apparently phenomenal. That might not be the right word. Incredible. And so he used his connections with Brooklyn Sports and Entertainment for a fraudulent wire transfer, according to the report in the New York Post today.
So to avoid floating in the Hudson,
he had to come up with some money.
He's floating in
Sing Sing.
The New York penal system.
I don't know
system.
Where he is. Yeah. He is.
Is he out? Is he still in the pokey?
I don't know if he made bond or not. I don't know.
Is he a flight risk?
Mm.
Would you think?
It depends on who's after him, like what Josh was saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. He may still be being held, and it might be for his own good. May want to stay in.
Yeah, he's safer in jail if that's the case.
What did you guys think of the death stare that that Adrian Peterson gave Sean Payton last night?
Yeah, one more thing on that Geno Smith thing. See, I even disagree with his assessment that he's a thug because you got to have a certain amount of talent to be a thug. Geno doesn't qualify. That with
so whatever is below a thug, that's
no, not below.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean not below. I mean a thug has a rep, right? They did something.
They have street cred,
right?
Yeah,
they did something. Whether it was bad, they were good at being bad. They did something.
Thug usually doesn't take a punch like Geno took.
Yeah, that's right.
So anyway,
probably not.
On TV last night, did you see Adrian Peterson?
I never
did he look really upset to you?
No, I didn't understand what – I thought that got blown out of proportion.
Yeah, probably so.
Well, if you read lips, he was very unhappy with not being in, but still, all players do that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's saying he just wanted us to run the ball more and not pass. And Adrian Peterson said, you don't know what I was saying. I might have been saying I love you. Then he tweeted today, let's be clear – what I said was we need to run the ball up their donkey. Another word for donkey.
Mm.
Nothing more. I'm passionate but respect my coach at the same time. Sean Payton said no problem for him. He didn't even recall a heated exchange. He did turn around and look at him. You can see it on the video.
He turned around. I thought he said something too because then, well, the camera moved on after I think the play went. But, yeah, it looked like he said something back.
Mm. Adrian Peterson is not going to be happy in New Orleans, because he's just not going to get the carries.
No.
I mean, they've got Mark Ingram, they've got Kamara, and they don't run the ball that much. They don't give anybody 20 carries a game.
No, they brought him in to be a goal line back.
You know, all things considered, he didn't look too bad when he was in there.
No.
I mean, compared to what how he had been playing.
Yeah. But he's just not going to get. I mean, New Orleans ran the ball 21 times last night, total. Everybody, 60 yards rushing. So he's not going to get carries that he's used to getting. You know where Peterson would be good is someplace like Denver.
It's true.
Where they're not going to just throw it around like Drew Brees is. But that's not where he is.
How good did Sam Bradford look, though?
Yeah, he was pretty sharp.
I mean, I always wondered how good he would have been had he not gone to that slug team in St. Louis. That didn't have an offensive line. He got beat to a pulp.
Yeah, he was always broken.
Every year because of the poor offensive line play that he had with the Rams. And I always thought that he was going to be a special quarterback. And, you know, now where, you know, the entire – Dalvin Cook.
He looked good.
And I tell you what, for a guy that only ran 4.7,
yep,
he looked pretty quick out there to me.
Good last night, really good. He broke the record for opening game performances that Adrian Peterson had set at Minnesota a few years back. All right, 844-477-3776. Nick Saban got irritated this week. There's breaking news for you. We'll let you hear that coming up. And much more. Final hour of the huddle coming up on ESPN Upstate. Jump on board. Text line 71307. We'll be right back.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.